guest joining us now. He's our Red Sox and Bruin insider. That's it. Thanks to Stacey Adamski, the Adamski Law. It's Tom Karen. How you doing, TC?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
Good. Well, how's the show going at home with TC? Seems to be getting some good feedback. How's that going?
Well, I keep saying I pity the athlete who tells me he can't come on because I want to know what he's doing just keeping him from jumping on the show, right? They're no different than us. They've got nothing to do right now. So these guys have been great. We've had a lot of fun. Tonight we've got Torrey Krug coming on talking about what might be the end of his run with the Bruins, which is hard to imagine in the middle of all this. And Brad Faxon and Billy Andrade going to come on and talk about life without golf. So we've got some cool guests.
Tom, what's the process like of setting that show up? I mean, obviously we saw the 181 remote cameras going in the draft over the weekend. I doubt it's quite that extensive, but it's a lot more work than usual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very different in it. And, you know, kudos to Nesson for being able to put this together. You know, my producer, Sean Allen, is at his home. We've got about 12 people who are on that Zoom call other than me and the guests. And, you know, we've got a director who's switching things from her house, an editor who's taking in the video at his place and then editing it all together. So it's a very different process. It takes a few hours from when we tape it to when we can actually get it on the air because it's just bouncing around from one house to another before it finally gets fed into Nesson at the end. And this is technology that we actually weren't even using 6 weeks ago, and Nesson got it, installed it in everybody's laptops, and said, let's try this, and we're off and running. So it's been an interesting experience.
Well, TC, as someone who understands the behind-the-scenes of TV, how impressed were you by the NFL draft?
Oh, I was blown away by it. I thought it was there's two things. The logistical challenges they had to get that on the air, and they absolutely aced it. But more than that, I expected to watch it and say, you know, that's fine. They got through it. But it was more than that. I'm not a draft guy. I don't enjoy watching drafts of any sports. I keep tabs on it. I want to know about the players. But I'm a guy who watches the games. I don't care so much about watching the so-called drama of the draft. I was glued to it over the weekend because I thought the NFL, which tends to get a little caught up in trying to be larger than life and being, you know, the gladiators in the Roman Forum, it actually humanized the NFL. These were kids sitting around their sofas with their parents, sharing the joy and emotion of being drafted. You know, you had some funny moments like Bill Belichick's dog and whatever was going on in Mike Vrabel's house. But it humanized the NFL, and I think the NFL often doesn't try to humanize itself. Now, you're never going to humanize Roger Goodell. He looked as awkward as ever. He was as robotic virtually as he is in person. But the rest of it I thought was phenomenal.
TC, Tom Karen of Nesson with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law. Do you see any of the things that you're doing virtually becoming the norm even when life resumes normally? I mean, do you see yourself taping interviews digitally now to get things done? I mean, do you think any of this lasts for you?
Yeah, that's a good question, and we've talked a little bit about it. I don't know about hosting it from home. I know my wife would not be a fan of that. She's had enough of me. But I do think getting guests to join you via Zoom, getting people who might be difficult to arrange to jump on a Skype call or a FaceTime or a Zoom call, I think we'll see more of that because we've gotten used to seeing it. You know, they say it takes 30 days for the human psyche to get used to something, for something to become the norm. If you see it over 30 days, it becomes commonplace. And when we get through with this, we're going to be very used to watching television where it's different people in different locations in little boxes talking to one another. So it won't seem unusual to have that. But what interests me, guys, and I don't know about you, is the transitional period that I feel we're embarking on now. And I heard what you guys were talking about just before I jumped on. Like, where are we going to go from here? Empty stadiums, games being played. We've been talking a lot about it, and it all seems so hypothetical. Now, I feel we're getting closer to it, and I actually think the NFL draft helped open the door to that. We watched that. We enjoyed it. We consumed it in record numbers, and it was different than anything we'd seen before. So I think that just tells leagues that, hey, people are going to watch this stuff and not complain about it. So I think that actually emboldens a Rob Manfred to say, let's make these games. Let's go in six different cities, have divisional pods where they just play each other. and let's get this going by July. I feel more strongly than ever that we're going to see sports here in the next couple of months.
Well, TC, about 30, 40 minutes ago, Bob Nightingale for the USA Today, and he's a big baseball guy, came up with a new thing he's hearing from three different executives where they're going to realign the divisions, where they're going to put three divisions, 10 teams in each division, based by geography. Obviously, in the East, it'd be like the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, Phillies, Pirates, stuff like that. Do the three divisions start off playing in Florida, Texas, and Arizona, and then moving to the home sites without fans? I'm kind of excited about this, and they do have quotes from an executive saying it's all coming together. One of the officials said, I'm very optimistic. I kind of like this deal. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but I like it.
Yeah, I did. And I'm more of a fan of the sixth division than the three, which is something Jeff Passan had talked about yesterday in one of his reports, that you'd have six divisions. But there was talk there about the geography
right,
coming into play to make bigger divisions, and that's what you're talking about here. What I've heard from some people is the next couple of weeks are going to tell us things. You know, if more parts of the country start opening up sooner than we thought, then you're more likely to go to six locations. If it's a little slower than we thought, then you've got your Florida, Texas, Arizona. I know that what they really like to do is have a plan in place in the next 2 to 3 weeks so that they could then present it to the players, get buy-in from the Players Association, and by June 1st have a fully vetted plan they can go public with. Jerry Remy with me today, and he's usually dialed in. Now, he was just guessing, but his guesses, I've learned, are in the 95 percentile for accuracy. And he said today that he wouldn't be surprised if players are reporting for training by June 1st and getting ready to go. So if you start talking about that, then you're talking about baseball by July 1st. Easy to get an 80-plus game season in there. And that's enough to have a representative season.
And it certainly gives the players time to get back to Boston. I mean, do you have any idea how many, if any, Boston athletes are actually around right now? Sox guys, Bruins guys, anyone?
Yeah, they're scattered everywhere. I've talked to a lot of different guys. I mean, most are home, wherever home is. In the case of the Bruins, a lot more of them are here in town because their season was there and they have the apartments or condos or wherever they live in the season. So a lot of them did hang out locally. The baseball players are scattered everywhere because they were in Florida, so they weren't coming back to Boston. One of the only guys I know who's around is Brock Holt, and he doesn't play for the Red Sox anymore. So they're scattered everywhere, but you know, they'll have to figure out the logistics of getting somewhere, and that's a big question. You know, where are they going? I assume they're going to be going to Florida, and I assume Florida is about... I think Tampa is going to be where the Red Sox end up. I don't know why, and I have no knowledge of that, but it's an American League East team. It's an East Coast team. Make a lot of sense for me for the Eastern teams to play at the Dome. You want to play in a Dome so you have no... because you cannot handle any possible rainouts or rain delays at all. You're going to crank these games out. And if you're going to play with no crowd, I think you're better in a dome anyway. So I would think you're going to be in and around Tampa, and that's pretty easy for the Red Sox players who are used to going to Fort Myers anyway.
TC, when it comes to restarting, what's the biggest worry? Is it pitchers not being ready in time and now getting injured? Is it then subsequently what happens to them when they become free agents? Like, what's the biggest worry here when do we get going again?
Yeah, as always, it's always pitching. You're talking about 3 weeks. Everybody I talk to says 3 weeks to get these guys up to speed. So that's not a lot of starts for guys who are basically starting back from scratch. You know, I talked to Eduardo Rodriguez a week or two ago, and he says he goes out and throws like a 15, 20-pitch bullpen every other day. That's a long way from being ready. So baseball has basically said, I mean, not officially, but if you read between the lines, they're going to have to expand the rosters. You're going to have extra pitchers on every team. And I think what you're going to see at the beginning of the season when the games start being played for real is it's going to be kind of glorified late spring training pitching protocols where you're going to have three guys go 2-3 innings apiece and cobble it together as they build up their arm strength on the fly.
You know, TC, the thing that I don't want to say it worries me, but the thing I'm going to be fascinated by is everybody's going to get comfortable with things at a different rate. Someone's going to come handshake you and you're going to back off and it's going to be awkward. Do you know that there's, what sense do you get from players here? Do you think all the players are going to be good with everything at the same time? Or are you going to get guys that have some trepidation about coming back?
Sure. I can tell you this. I mean, at the end of spring training, when we were March 10th, March 11th, March 12th, I was really intrigued, and I watched closely at the different reaction different players were having. And some guys didn't seem to think it was a worry at all. Other guys were really concerned about being in that environment with coronavirus on the move, and guys were freaked out by it. And, you know, I think that is a representation of all of us, right? Some of us are germaphobes, some of us aren't. Some of us are more cautious than others. And I think players are going to be, you know, it's going to be weird when one guy puts an arm around another guy and the guy gives him that look, get away from me. You know, I talked about the transition period, and this is what, to me, is going to be the bottom line in all of this. How do sports get through that transition? How do we all get through the transition? I told you, Billy Andrade is on the show tonight, and he lives in Georgia. They're opened up, right? He told me he hasn't gone out and golfed at all, that he and his family are staying in the house. They're being safe. He thinks they need to make sure they continue social distance. He said he had a friend who was a few miles from him on a golf course, one of these huge golf complexes, five different courses. That guy told Billy that over the weekend it was like the 4th of July. There were people everywhere. They were crammed into carts. Now, the rules are you're not supposed to be in a cart together. You're not supposed to touch the pin. You're not supposed to shake hands. He said nobody was following it. Everybody was acting like it had never happened. And that'll be the concern for fans. As for players, you know, yeah, everybody's spitting sunflower seeds everywhere, right? You're gonna stop that. There's going to be a lot they're going to have to get used to.
Yeah, you know, TC, I was worried about football because they were coming up with a contingency plan to start in, like, October, move the Super Bowl back 3 weeks. I'm already coming to the point where I'm not so sure that we may get the rest of the NBA or NHL season. I'm at that point right now.
Well, NBA and NHL, to me, the challenges are different because you got to bring them back, you got to finish the season, you got to have a full playoff run, then you got to have some sort of off season before you can start next year. And that becomes tougher and tougher. To me, there comes a point, we're not there yet, but there comes a point where it's just going to make more sense to cut your losses and see you next fall when we can start clean. So they're in a different boat than baseball. Baseball has an entire season to get in. Also, the least amount of regular contact between players of any of those sports. So I think they've got a chance to do it. In football, they're in the driver's seat because they're the last of them to go. They could shorten the season and go later into the year. Nobody would care if they're playing in the winter, if you had to have regular season games in January. It's football, it's king, and everybody would watch. So I think every league has different challenges, but none of them, you know, listen, here's the other thing, right? Baseball, let's say baseball starts. Let's say it's July 15th, and we're playing games in Florida with nobody in the crowd. And suddenly the next day, a player tests positive.
Oh, jeez.
So what are you doing now? Does the entire sport shut down? Does only the Florida division shut down for 2 weeks? Everybody quarantines? I mean, that's the black eye that any of these leagues are facing if they come back out and a player gets sick and tests positive. Now you got to figure out how are you going to shut down, regroup, and resume the season before too long.
All right, let's talk some hockey.
Wow.
I'm ready. I got to tell you, that 2011 Bruins Zoom call thing was really cool. And I love the fact the fact that Tim Thomas was right in the middle of it was amazing. How'd you pull that off?
It was great. You know, they had great buy-in. I think Nathan Horton was the only guy not there. I'm telling you, man, I watched that thing with a magnifying glass. I was chuckling. I'd lock in on – I don't know why. Tyler Seguin was just entertaining the hell out of me. I was locked in on him. And his body language and his reaction to other guys' jokes, he was just sitting back. You know, he's a young guy on that team, and now he's a star. And it was just funny watching him react to some of the stuff. Milan Lucic and his late-night toast to his boys. You know, the ongoing jabs to Tuukka Rask for having a third daughter if he wanted a boy. It was great stuff. And Tim Thomas, who we just haven't seen much of.
Right.
And who's, you know, started to come out and talk a little about the anxiety issues that he has dealt with and trying to come out of that. And I thought when Lucic toasted him and talked about how they don't get anywhere without him, Tim looked a little choked up because I don't think he's heard that from those guys in a long time just because they haven't been together. So it was a really special moment. I've seen that other teams are starting to try to do that now. But I think the Bruins and Nesson came together and the players bought into it, and it was a really special thing to have.
TC, is there more, I don't want to say pressure, more desire to get this season done for the Bruins, considering, sure, they would be the top seed, but also just their ages? Like, how far open is this championship window? Like, is this their last good shot?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and I was surprised, if you watch the show tonight at 8, Torrey Krug was pretty open about the fact that now that he's been sitting around for 4 or 5 weeks, it's starting to get to him. The mind games are starting to get to him about maybe, you know, what's going to happen here. Has he played his last game? Is he done with the Bruins? And it was interesting here because these guys always say, well, I blocked that out. It's the business. He was very open about how challenging it's been mentally to sit around and not think about that. And you start talking about guys like that coming off the roster. I mean, listen, their defense has been as deep as anyone. And we don't know what the salary cap is going to look like now after all this. If they don't play again, now you talk about changes in the revenue formula that could affect the salary cap and could really limit what Don Sweeney can do next year. So you're right. There's a window here, and we knew it was probably going to be closing. But if you lose the rest of the season and don't get a chance to go for it, and they were in a position to go for it, if you don't get that chance, that window might slam shut.
Yeah. He's Tom Karen, Red Sox and Bruin insider in Essen. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law. TC, you be safe out there. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, guys. I suddenly found the busiest place in town at the last minute here.
Thanks, TC.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate
Take
it.
Take care.
Stay safe. And hopefully, you know, I just hope we get to, I think the next step would just be to get plans. You know, just to hear a league say, listen, this is what we're doing. Unless it changes, you can expect this back by this date. I think just even that would start to give us a little bit of a blueprint to get out of all this.